Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
Lord, we give you thanks, God, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your long view of things. Even when we fall and mess up and don't make good decisions, you still have the eternity in view, and you see things from that vantage point, and you're able to forgive us because of Christ's sacrifice and the fact that you know everything's going to be okay one day when we get all hyper and bent out of shape because of our humanness and our carnality. But thank you for having that long view for your purposes, God, for what you stand for. And thank you for being able to do this podcast. And thank you for our audience, Lord. Please help them in their struggles and their challenges and encourage them, Father. And we just pray that we would speak your word and about your subjects and truth today, that we would give it justice, Lord. And we need you to lead our words and our thoughts and our fluidity and everything that you intend today, Lord. And we give it to you and we ask for your help in Christ's name. Amen.
Welcome back to another episode. We're so glad that everybody's here. It's so good to see Laura and Kevin. And today we are going to talk about hypocrisy. And so I want to hand this over to Kevin and have him flesh this out for us.
Well, thank you, Joseph. It's good to see you as well. And you don't do it on purpose, but you leave yourself out. Like, it's good to see Laura and Kevin today, but it's good to see you, Joseph, too. And anyway, what I felt that we needed to talk about today is hypocrisy, and I've named it, if we want a title, hypocrisy, which is appearance, not heart. And so I was doing a Bible study the other day, and I read a scripture, and it just jumped off the page. And, you know, it's like a lot of us. We read scripture, and we read scripture maybe dozens of times, the same scripture, but then it hits us differently. And that's kind of what it did. And I'm going to break right into context, but I wanted to give you a little context first. Paul is assuring us of the resurrection of our next life with Christ. And then he's talking about we will be judged by Christ. And then then he begins to talk about our need to be reconciled with Christ. And then the scripture that I would like to read is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, to open the topic up. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance and not in heart. Mm-hmm. And so we live in a world trapped by that. We all, I think we might have alluded to it last week. Yeah, we all want to perform. We all want to look put together. We all want to look like winners on the outside. But how many of us are hypocrites, honestly, and not truthful, and we're lying and we're cheating all the time? And I know you guys have, and I want your comments on this. How many times have I heard, well, if that's what being a Christian is, count me out. Yeah. Or if my dad is a Christian, then no way, Jose. And words to that sentiment. And it makes me very sad when I hear things like that. But it also, I also have a lot of patients who bring that sentiment. Yeah. Seriously. And we have to walk through that inauthenticity and all the things that they're holding against God. And it's not God's fault, but it does cripple their coming to Christ. And we have to wade through that and it's a big barrier. This hypocrisy is affecting parents, it's affecting marriages, it's affecting the corporate life, it's affecting everything in our world, just that not being true to God. And if we can be true to God, then we'll be true to ourselves and whatever roles God calls us to. If we're not true to God, and if we don't drop the hypocrisy, we're done, period. That means we're done psychologically, we're done emotionally, we're done cognitively, and we're not going to be all that we are meant to be and created to be in our full identity. And so, again, the simple part of that, boy, that's being a Christian. Count me out. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So what do you guys think about that? Have you heard that a time or two?
We've heard it a lot. And I think the three of us would agree that hypocrisy is a perversion to authenticity, which is, you know, what we want to say is the litmus test, right? What we would say scripture says is the litmus test. And I think that what we're going to hopefully be able to unpack is the different reasons why people act as hypocrites. You know, there are different reasons why people are hiding. It's the same sin. It's done for different reasons. And the reason we want to talk about some of the different reasons why is so that you, listener, can find yourself in that midst if it's true. Now, you said something interesting, Kevin, which is I do believe all of us have hidden, been masked, which is really what hypocrisy is. It's a mask. It's not revealing who you really are for whatever reason. Hopefully some of those reasons we'll get to today. You know, I'll say this. I know we will. We may not get to every reason, but we're going to unpack some of the reasons. But we've all been guilty of wearing a mask. The problem is that when it becomes that scripture we talked about before together on this podcast is when we hear God say, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Mm. And that's really, listener, what we want to flesh forth, right? Not that people wear masks so much, because everyone does, and we need to do away with that kind of living. But the hypocrisy that Kevin's bringing forth, which is it's all about appearance. It's not about the heart. And that's the perversion of authenticity.
Absolutely. I think a lot of hypocrisy is based in fear. And the fear that we would be exposed, the fear of failure. There's social fears, like you said, masking. That's a fear. I would say result. We don't want to be looked at as being different or being wrong. Yet, what is coming out of us, right? This is the stuff that we are trying to keep from coming out. And instead of fixing or working on those things, we want to put on a good face. And the church is a good example of hypocrisy, but there's hypocrisy outside of the church too. Mm. We don't acknowledge it because we take it as being normal. And when you have a contrast, meaning you have God's word and you have the world, and where it collides, you have contrast. And the church is a melting pot for that contrast. Because you have people that walk in, they'll say something like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Okay. You know, I'm not judging you. But if somebody goes, oh, you're a pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say those things. I'm like, why are you apologizing to me? Why are you telling me sorry for the words that are coming out of your mouth? Because obviously that's what's coming from the heart. Why are you apologizing for that? Is it because you know better and choose not to do it? Or do you think I'm only supposed to hear what you're supposed to be telling me? And what that does is that exposes our heart. It exposes what's going on inside of us. And then you have some people, no holds barred, they're just going to say whatever they say. I love them the same. And I don't treat them differently. But growing up, I know in youth group, I heard that all the time. Oh, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. And I said, with you coming, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to make it worse, and it's not going to make it better. Right? If anything, mm-hmm. you need to be there. Because the church is a hospital. The church is not a country club. It's a hospital for us to become better, to have our hearts changed. And so I've heard it a lot. I've been in church my whole life. And if anything, I say, oh, don't worry about it. We could use another one. Come on in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, Joseph, I'm glad you pointed out that hypocrisy, is not restricted to just Christians. As a matter of fact, it's in all walks of life, all religions, everywhere, you know. And so I'd like to do a little reading, and I'm going to ask you guys to participate a little bit in a minute. I call this reading Necklace, and I'm going to direct it to Christians. I mean, again, we have hypocrisy everywhere, right? But I'm going to direct it for the Christian context. And I call this reading Necklace-Wearing Christians, Jewelry or Relationship. And so let me do a little reading. Wearing a cross has been a fad for a long time. I've even seen people do unspeakable crazy, stupid, and perverted things while wearing their crosses bright and bold. Oblivious to what the cross stands for and not seeming to care, as wearing it doesn't retard or diminish their descent into wickedness. Are we wearing our crosses for our moms? Because a lot of times we're sure not honoring God. As a matter of fact, let's take the crosses off if we're not going to live the right way. I remember seeing an SUV vehicle beside of me at an intersection. The first thing that I noticed was a pretty little sticker, "Jesus loves you," right on the back glass. Then a hand reaches up through the sunroof and communicates in American Sign Language with an FU three-finger salute, bright and bold. I wondered to my disappointed self, did they buy the car with a sticker on it? Hopefully they weren't coming home from church. I've even seen church people wearing big old smiles when the pastor comes around, only to treat others with cold indifference and rudeness when the pastor is not around. Shame on us. Do we think this will pass muster with God? This is part of the fakeness the world doesn't like about the church. They think we are two-faced, and unfortunately, they are correct in many cases. This becomes a big turnoff for non-church folks. I've heard it 1,000 times, and I'm sure you have. If we are fake, no one will listen to us. As we try to counsel them or talk to them or befriend them or those sort of activities. Now, I want us to listen to this. This is kind of a mouthful, but this is true. Society's fake barometer devices are ever active, trying to recognize fakeness lest it engulfs them into misery and nonsensical morbid servitude. Will we as Christians let them down? Do you remember Christ's experiences with many of the religious folk when he was walking around as a man? He opposed and taught about hypocrisy and fakeness many times during the course of his ministry. And yet we persist in fakeness like it's supposed to pay off or get us by for a while. Good grief, a one-year-old can tell a fake, and we're supposed to win people to Christ? On one occasion, Christ sternly and scathingly and thoroughly critiqued the fakeness in religious lifestyles. We find that in Matthew 23:23-34. And Laura, I would love for you to read that for us, please.
Yes. I'm reading it out of the NLT. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. Bunch of blind guides. You strain your water so that you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, then you swallow a camel. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! You are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup, and then the outside will become clean too. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. You try to look like upright people outwardly, but inside your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed and then decorate the graves of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Then you say, oh, we would never have joined them in killing the prophets. In saying that, you are actually accusing yourselves of being the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead, finish what you started. Snakes, son of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? I will send you prophets and wise men and teachers of religious laws. You will kill some by crucifixion and whip others in your synagogues, chasing them from city to city."
And I'm going to continue to read a little bit, and then Joseph's going to participate. Calling people fakes today because of their lack of real substance, real genuine character and integrity, and real love and concern seems rather benign and innocent compared to Christ calling the religious fakes during his time serpents and snakes. Christ's ferocious, no-holds-barred language shows us how deeply he was disgusted with religious individuals thinking they're all that, when really they're fakety-fake-fakes, drowning in falseness, and everyone around them knows it. How many people trade a relationship with Christ for fakeness or church busy activities without resting and being at peace in Christ? And we read that in Matthew 7:21, and Joseph's going to expound upon that and perhaps read that for us in a few minutes. How many people wear a necklace for Christ or perhaps hang out a shingle for Christ, but forget or neglect the real meaning and foundation of authentic Christianity, which is a love relationship with the very author and source of that authentic Christian living? If our Christianity is just necklace wearing for the sake of appearances, we won't impact people's hearts and souls. As a matter of fact, if our souls don't wear the cross that stands for and represents all Christ, all we will do is turn others into bling bling necklace wearers, not affording them the real relationship power of God's deity, personality, and purposes. What a tragedy that would be. And I don't want this to be a harsh, kind of a harsh thing against Christianity. I'm merely suggesting that we're making the point. Christ made the point very poignantly that hypocrisy is a big problem, and he does not like it because it takes us away from God and authentic living that will turn people on to him. It's a big subject for him. So I'm not trying to just, even with tough subjects, the three of us do a good job, and we're gentle but firm and factual but not condemning. And so I'm not trying to do that. We're not trying to do that. We're just trying to address the fact that hypocrisy is a big crime.
Well, I think one thing we can agree is that what you shared with us blows out of the water this false narrative that people have about Jesus, you know, is that he's soft and everything is gentle. No, Jesus, I like the word you use, ferocious. I think what we can agree on is we need to hate the things God hates. He hates the attitude of the heart. And that's what we're saying, listeners. There's a difference, like Joseph and I talked about. People mask. There's reasons that people mask. Not saying that that's right, that they do. But what Kevin's talking about is much deeper than the masking. It's an intentional desire to betray and to deceive. And this is a heart issue. And, you know, the problem, I think, gentlemen, as I heard you speaking, Kevin, is that fakeness is often rewarded. You know, it's they're often given the, you know, the offices, you know, with the biggest view, right? Why? Because when people say what other people want to hear, right, people are moving into, if they're not careful, they're moving straight into hypocrisy. They're moving away from the very person that God created them to be. And they are being man pleasers. Would you agree with that? Right. They're being man pleasers. And Jesus is so angry in this scripture because they were not God pleasers. They were not bent on pleasing God. They were bent on looking good in front of other men.
Right.
Absolutely. We live in a time where social media, we have filters, we have photos, we have stories, we have all these things to put our best foot forward, so that people don't see what's going on behind the scenes, what's happening in our hearts, what's happening in our relationships. And that masking, we see it at church, it's prevalent. And the reason why I know is that typically what you find is that you'll see children walk away from the faith or not take the faith because they saw hypocrisy in their home. Their parents were one way at home and one way at church. I've seen pastors do that too. And one of the things that I always stress to people is that as somebody who's seen that, I want to have my children see me the same at home as they see me at church, as they see me in the world. And sometimes I do that with how I dress. And most people don't realize it, but I dress the same every day. I'm wearing jeans, maybe a polo shirt or a t-shirt. I wear a hat because, you know, I like hats. But I want people to see me the same way in church as they do outside of church. I want them to see me in my home the same way as they see me in church or out in the real world. Because I don't want there to be this thought that I have to change for whatever situation I'm in. I want it to be the same. I want it to be natural. I want it to be something that I don't have to hide. A lie has to be told over and over again, and then you have to remember what the lie is all about, and people forget. The truth always wants to come out. It will always come out. And then we catch ourselves in being stuck in the lie. And so if we're able to understand the things that we need to fix, if there's things that are happening inside of us that need to be changed, and we're able to make those changes, then we don't have to struggle with our appearance. We don't have to try to remember what I'm supposed to say or what I'm not supposed to say. Or we don't have to remember that we have to wave with all five fingers when we're driving down the road, right? Yeah. But what are those things? Would you like me to read the Matthew 7, 21?
Yeah, sure, Joseph. I'd love for you to expound upon that a little bit.
Okay. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 7, this the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that do the will of the Father who is in heaven, of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I like to use the illustration of who's your favorite actor. Let's pick one at random. Let's use Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, right? Everybody knows who The Rock is. And he's a larger than life type of guy. He seems like if you knew him, you would like him. And I can know everything about The Rock. I can know his birthday, how tall he is, what he eats for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I can know who his family members are. I know all the films he was in, all the extracurricular activities. And if we met in the street, I'd say, hey, The Rock, dude, how's it going? Man, it's so good to see you. And he's like, who are you? Right? Mm. Who are you? We can know everything about Jesus. We can know his words. We can know how he died, how he lived. We can understand from the rest of scripture how he was supposed to come and fulfill the law. But are we going to stand in front of him and have him say, hey, who are you? Man, that scares me. That's a frightening thought. And so when I read this, it's not like, oh, he's picking and choosing. No, where's the relationship? Where is that relationship we're supposed to have? Because unless I have a relationship with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he doesn't know who I am. He may care for a little bit because he's being a nice guy. But in all honesty, it's lopsided. I know more about him than he knows about me. And I don't want to do that with Jesus. I don't want to know more about him than he knows about me because of a lack of a relationship. And so that's a very dire warning to say, do I know him the way I'm supposed to know him? Is he active in my life? Am I active in his will and what he wants me to do? Because if not, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. Well, hypocrisy is counter to relationship because it doesn't want to be found out. You mentioned lies. is sort of a lie, right? To have proper relationships, there's a certain amount of vulnerability and transparency and all the rest. Not that you have to tell everybody your business, but there's truthfulness, right? There's honesty, and hypocrisy is a lie. So it's counter to the relational dynamics that we should have.
Well, I think it goes back to, again, deceitfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about masking, and then oftentimes people don't want to be seen. Insecurity could be a reason. People don't often want to look different. Remember, you know, listener, we're all created for attachment. And so there's something that says you need to look alike and sound alike. And, you know, so you don't stand out, right? Because you don't want to lose attachment. But what we're talking about is that when we take an appearance to deceive, we've moved into hypocrisy. Now, we still want to say to you, if you have found yourself in this trap of living masked, right, because you're afraid of being found out, whether that's pride, whether that's the fear of conflict, we want to say, listen, we understand for many that are listening, it was not safe to be in conflict. It was not safe to be confronted. And it was certainly not safe for you to be confronted. So we get that. But here it's like, it's a slow slide if we're not careful. We may all start off a little masked, but part of that becomes, I believe, and I think the gentlemen agree with me, is because we have not grounded our identity in Jesus Christ yet. Because once we identify our true nature in God, we care less about what the world thinks about us. Because, you know, I said the other day, gentlemen, you know, the very things that some people love about me is the very same thing other people hate about me. Very same thing, very same way I show up in the world, very same things I speak on. Some love it. They want more of it. And others hate it and they want to shut me up. And so it's an important thing to acknowledge that that's true for all of us. So you better be living authentically, because here's what's going to happen. If you don't, you're going to fall into this place that Kevin is warning us about called hypocrisy. It's a corruption Christ spits out of his mouth. Because just like you said, it's all about appearance, has nothing to do with heart. It's all about deception. It's all about pretense. It's all about fraud. And when we begin to really align ourselves back to that scripture, I love that scripture that Kevin had you read, Joseph, because that is a message from the scriptures that should make every person tremble. And I think you did a really incredible job, Joseph, giving a parable of what that looks like. I've never heard anybody give that form of parable. And I think it was so good. It was so easy to understand, you know, and the last thing we want to believe is that we're going to come face to face with the Lord finally and him say, who are you? I never knew you. And it comes back to this living out this life of hypocrisy. And I'm going to preach it till I die, which is who, it doesn't matter if you say, I love the Lord. The question is, are you obeying the Lord? Because that's what we just read. That's the litmus test. And you see, and this is what, listener, if you will live and die on that hill, I promise you, you can't fall into hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy is about looking good and having the world applaud you. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things. I'm preaching to the choir maybe, but I'm, you know, listener. But there's a lot of things going on in our culture that are so anti-God. They're so lacking in obedience to God. So this conversation, Kevin, is more important than even we know, because mm-hmm. God always sends a warning before he brings judgment. In fact, he actually says, I'll always send a prophet before I bring judgment. And so, you know, listener, I'm trembling with this message. I hope that you're trembling and looking at, are you walking in sincerity, especially to the Lord? And that's going to become challenging, because if you're going to walk in sincerity to the Lord, obedience to the Lord, the world is going to hate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. And hypocrisy is psychologically, spiritually, cognitively, and emotionally like prison. Once you get caught up into it, you can't live free. There's, you know, you can't keep track of all your lies, your pretensions. And you know in your heart, really, probably there's some fakeness and it doesn't jive with peace development and joy development or any of those things. It just goes totally against us. And as Joseph read, it can negate our salvation. It's that powerful. And that's crazy. It can destroy relationships and all kinds of things. Boy, it's just I right now, hearing you talk, and I was counting my caseload, which sometimes is difficult, and I at least have four individuals or four couples that let me be polite, are idolatrous because their own sexual relationship outside of marriage that they justify is more important than God. And that becomes hypocrisy. Now, look, I don't condemn people and I don't verbally slap them around, but I get a little bit tired when they come to me and they want peace and they want freedom from anxiety and they want freedom from depression and they want freedom from trials. And yet they're living like a demon. But they don't want you to tell them that or tell them the things, you know, they don't. Sometimes the smart aleck part of me wants to do, hey, McFly, you know, but we have to be much more patient as counselors and so on. But these people, what gets me, you can see them on this live stream. Sometimes they'll raise their hand and they're clapping and praising the Lord and then go sleep with their girlfriend twice that afternoon. They, you know, maybe it's a compartmentalization psychologically. Maybe a lot of these people love the Lord. It's just that they're caught up in this idolatrous hypocrisy that their sexual desires are more important than what God tells them. That's hypocrisy. And that really gets to me because, again, it taxes me when a person wants free counseling or even if they're paying and they don't want to acknowledge their part of it or take responsibility. Just make me happy, please. I'll sleep with who I want to.
Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.